Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning and afternoon. We give you the praise and glory. Let my speech be still as a dew of heaven. Even on this day, let my words be a blessing to me and to everybody that's listening. Praise the Lord. And let the entrance of your word, as it is written, we declare it, that it will bring forth light into our ways and give understanding to us, because our hearts are simple and open before you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to give you a few more scriptures, say a few more things on this topic, kind of round it up. We've been talking about the foreknowledge of God and our faith, and how we can use our faith to tap into his foreknowledge. And once you understand that God has foreknowledge of all things, he's already seen it. So if he spoke it, he already knows that it is going to be. That should really boost our confidence. So a few more scriptures. Some of them will be a review, and a couple more additional scriptures. Isaiah 46:10 is a review. We have spoken about that a few times, but it is something that should always be in your mind when you're thinking of what the Lord is going to do. Well, think of it this way, that he has already done it. Praise the Lord. So that's the foundational scripture for this. And it says that the Lord declares the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure, saith the Lord. So that's it right there. Even from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, can he declare them? Well, because they are already done in his mind, not done to us, but done as far as he's concerned. He's already seen it and he can declare it so. And his counsel will also stand, because there is nobody strong enough. There's no force in heaven and earth strong enough to derail what God has put in motion. Praise the Lord. So, and his word will always come to pass. I want to also read to you a companion scripture with that. It's in Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 3. I'm going to give you, this one is new. Isaiah 48 and verse 3. I have declared the former things. Hallelujah. From the beginning, same thing. And they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them, and I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. Hallelujah. So look at the process. Well, first, he declared it. He went forth out of his mouth and showed them to you. And once you understand that, well, he said, even I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. And that's the things that he has done in the past. That should boost our faith for the now. Praise the Lord. Psalm 119 verse 89. We covered this one already. But it's a good foundational scripture as well when we are thinking of this subject. You know, so there's an aspect of it that we must consider. You know, because of the way that we are here and he is he's in heaven, we are on the earth, but we can be in heaven with him at the same time. If you understand how to work that faith. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. And they continue this day according to thy ordinances for all are thy servants. Everything is God's servant. The wind, the sun, the moon, you know, the stormy wind fulfilling his word and everything. All his servants. But more importantly, he said that the word of God is forever settled in heaven. Well, the question then though is it settled in our hearts? And can you bring forth that which is already settled in heaven? Well, let's see about that. Because God asked Job a question, an important question to consider when you are meditating on this topic. You know, this is the way that God asked this of Job. Job 38 and 33. Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? I mean, the things that God has established in the heavens. You know, how they are settled, how his word is forever settled. Do you know it? Do you understand these things? Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? Now, this verse is, you know, loaded, even though it's a short verse. It is loaded with secret revelation. If you understand that, things that happen, you know, in the earth are governed by the ordinances in heaven. That's what this verse means. Ordinances of heaven have dominion over the earth. And if you understand that, and you know that, you know, the greatest ordinance in heaven is his word. His word is forever settled in heaven. That word will have dominion upon the earth if you use it right. So if you know how to use it, you take that word which he already spoke, then you speak it upon the earth as well. I mean, basically, you know, God has spoken, let there be a multitude of people that will publish it. That's what the scripture says. He, you know, that God's word, which is already settled in heaven, once it's given, then we must publish it according to Psalm 68, verse 11. The Lord gave the word in the heavens. Now great the company of those that published it in the earth. So once we know his word's already given, we must publish it. That means establish it. That means enforce it. That means spread it everywhere. The word of God. Praise the Lord. Powerful, powerful scriptures. Psalm 119, 105. We covered this already also. You know, how that the word of God, you know, Jesus said, if any man follows me, he will not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Well, let's consider the light of life in the context of this scripture. Psalm 119 and verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Now, that means you will not stand in darkness. There's light all around you. But that's not enough. It's also a light to the path ahead of you. Praise the Lord. So if you're wondering, well, what does the path ahead look like? I don't know, but I know his word. And I can use his word to bring light to the path ahead of me. In other words, use his word to shape your future and shape the things that have not yet happened. You can do it by the word of God. Let's connect some pieces from certain scriptures to other scriptures. In the book of Deuteronomy, there is something that the Lord proclaimed there, which later on Paul himself would now talk about in the book of Romans. So let's read it. Praise the Lord. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, I'm going to read a few things that the Lord said there. This is, you know, from chapter 28 to chapter 30. He was telling them a lot of things, blessings that would come to them if they obey the word of God, you know, troubles that they will have, which he actually called curses that will come to them if they are disobedient and rebellious to the word of God. It goes on and on and on and on. Now, in this place, listen to this. From verse 9 of Deuteronomy 30. And the Lord thy God shall make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand. Now, that's a promise. And that's something that God already said. So, you know, I want to give you some promises here and how to use them. God already said it. That's an ordinance in heaven, because he already spoke it. Now, wow. How do we use it? Well, look at the things, companion things he said as well in that same declaration. The Lord will make thee plenteous in every work of thy hand, in the fruit of thy body also. That's already said. You know, and in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy land, everything that you're doing will increase. Make you plenteous. He said that already. You know, for good. See, plenteous for good. Not for evil. It's not that you'll be bringing forth for trouble. No. Plenteous for good. For the Lord will rejoice again over thee for good, even as he rejoiced over thy fathers. Now, it's a blessing. He blessed your fathers. He will bless you as well. Bless the fathers, he will bless the children. And it goes on and on. It says, if thou shalt hearken, you know, unto the voice of the Lord thy God, keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law. And if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, for this commandment which I command thee this day, listen to this. Think of the commandment as the word of the Lord. This word of the Lord, which you have heard this day, is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It's not in heaven. You know, so that you say, well, who's going to go to heaven and bring it down? It's so far away from me. See, now he's going to close that gap between heaven and earth now. Now, this word is not, don't say, well, it's in heaven. It's too far, you know, it's so far ahead of me. Or above me. Who's going to go down over there and bring it to us so that we may do it? Well, neither should you say it is beyond the sea. You know, it's not beyond the sea, he said. Neither is it beyond the sea, so that I should say who should go over to the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. But he said, the word is very nigh unto thee in thy mouth. And in thy heart, thou mayest do it. And this is the same scripture that Paul was quoting in Romans chapter 10. He quoted pretty much the same thing. I mean, these writers of the Holy Scriptures, they often quote one another. And Paul was talking about the word of God. You know, don't say it's in heaven. I mean, don't say he's somewhere else. Even Christ, he said. Don't say who's going to go down, up to heaven to bring him down. You know, and don't say that who's going to go and get him out of the grave or wherever. He said, but, you know, said, this is the righteousness which is of faith. He said, he speaketh after these wise. So he's quoting the same thing. Say not in thy heart. It's Romans chapter 10 and verse 6. Don't say in your heart that, you know, who is going to ascend to heaven. That's what we just read in Deuteronomy 30. To bring Christ down from above, that's the word of God. Or who shall descend to the deep, that is to say, bring Christ down from grave. He added another dimension there, you know, because he's no longer there. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, is the word of faith which we preach, that you may do it, is what Deuteronomy said. Well, the word of faith also is the one that you need to use for salvation, for prosperity, for health, for everything. Say, it's in your mouth. And we need to use it to declare even over our children, over everything. You know, there are some things that we must do. Take the word of God and declare it for yourself. In the book of Job 38 again, we covered this yesterday. But just in case you're thinking, well, how can I really do that? Well, remember, I'm going to tell you one or two things that may help us to remember that God has given you the power to do it. He asked Job the questions, but God has actually, you know, given him, us, power to do it. Listen to this in Job chapter 38. You might want to read, you know, that whole chapter of Job 38. There's more in 39 and so forth, but that Job 38 brings a lot of things out. Because it started out by God challenging Job, speaking to him out of the whirlwind, and telling him, now, well, gird up now thy loins like a man, and I will demand certain things of you, and you answer me if you know. And he began to ask him things. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me. Do you have understanding? Who laid the measures thereof? If you know, tell it to me. Upon whom is the line stretched? And so on. I asked him, where are the foundations fastened upon? Who laid the cornerstone? We began to ask him many things. Well, you know, listen to this in verse 12 that he asked him, you know. I mean, in fact, before verse 12, look at this thing he said in verse 11. You know, the Lord can say, he say, hitherto, he said to all these proud waves and so forth. The seas, put their boundaries, you know, and the waves will be stopped by the word of the Lord. Say, hast thou commanded the morning since thy days? Can you do it? Well, the Lord is the one that put it in motion, but, you know, that's beyond, there's a revelation beyond that. God already created night and day. You know, the ordinance of night and day is there. He created it forever. But there is something that you and I can command for the day. You know, and that's the one that you must do. You got to take a look in the beginning of the day, see and visualize the day ahead and speak good things to that day and command the day to be at your footsteps. Hallelujah. And speak good things. You say, well, you know, who can do that? I can't do that. Of course you can. You know, can you cause even the day spring to know its place? Well, you know, the day spring from on high has visited us. If you understand this realm, you can actually do things. In the book of Isaiah 45, here's what the Lord said, you know, for those who are saying, well, I can't do that. Well, sure you can. You know, here's what he says in the book of Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 11. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his maker. Ask me of things to come concerning my sons. Well, ask the Lord. You know, I will show it to you. You know, and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. He's already given us the ability to do it. Now, if you don't do it because you say, well, I can't do that, only God can do that. Well, yeah, think again. Because yes, indeed, only God can do it. But when he confers upon you the privilege to do it, the power of attorney to act in his name, then you have basically the power. He said, look, command ye me the works of my hands. Some weeks ago, we talked about the story of Joshua, how he did exactly that. You know, he commanded, you know, the works of God's hands. In the book of Joshua, chapter 10 and verse 12. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of all Israel, he didn't go to the corner and say it. Now, remember, it says he spoke to the Lord. But well, let's see what he actually said. Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. Well, you would have thought that if Joshua was speaking to the Lord, he would say, Lord, I pray that the sun will stand still. And Lord, I ask that you cause the moon to stand still. That's not what he said. He spoke directly to the sun and the moon. And when you do that, that's commanding the works of God's hands. But the scripture characterizes it as though he was speaking to God. He said, the Lord, he said, Joshua spake to the Lord. But it was actually the sun and the moon that he spake to. So that's the explanation of Isaiah 45 and 11. Anytime that you have the faith to speak to God, to the work of God's hands, well, it's like speaking to the Lord. And the Lord gave you the right to do it. Command ye me concerning the works of my hands. You can do it. If you understand it, well, you can do it. Jesus said in the book of Luke, chapter 22 and verse 29. You know, this power that Jesus has, in a way, you know, is giving it to us. Say, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, even as my Father has appointed unto me. You know, well, you know, you can say, well, the kingdom of God is futuristic. Sure it is. But it's both futuristic and also now. He said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffered violence. Now, he also says, the law and the prophets are unto John. But afterwards, the kingdom of God is here. So John was the one that kind of had one leg in the law and the prophets and one leg in the kingdom. And since that time, we know we're in the kingdom. Jesus said, I appoint unto you the kingdom. Wow. God has made us kings and priests. I mean, as a king in God's kingdom, do you actually have any power to do anything? Or are you just a figurehead? I mean, you know. Many of us act like we are figureheads in this kingdom. We're just there. We have no power. We have nothing. We're just there. But that's not what God had in mind. In fact, Jesus was training his disciples. In Luke 10 and 19, he said, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. You know, you tread upon serpents and scorpions and so forth. You know, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, did he withdraw that power? Now, that's the question. If he gave that power, did he at one time say, well, you know, that phase is over. You no longer have the power. There's some people actually say that today. There's some denominations. They say, well, you know, that was then, you know, all those things, Acts of the Apostles. You know, gift of the spirit, cloven tongues of fire. That stuff doesn't happen anymore. You know, that's some congregations and some religious groups that actually think that. They think that God has withdrawn those things and they don't happen anymore. But to the contrary, Jesus gave us the power, the privilege to use his name for many things. Listen to this. In the book of John chapter 17, he said, I have given unto them the words which thou givest me. Verse 8. And they have received them, and they've known surely that I came from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Then he said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. You can't save the devil. That's not going to happen. Jesus did not care about the world systems. You know, some people that want to inherit the world systems, well, go ahead. Be my guest. That's not what Jesus cared about. He cared about his own kingdom and his own people. Not for the world, he said, but for them which thou hast given me, because they are thine. You can't be better than Jesus. We need to have understanding. You know, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And he said, and I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world. And when I come to you, Holy Father, keep through thy own name those whom thou hast given unto me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them, you know, I kept them in thy name. Those that you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures may be fulfilled. You know, and now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy in themselves. I've given them your word. See? And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You know, so anytime you speak and say, I am not of this world, you know, you are not saying something wrong. Jesus said it about you already. He said, you are not of this world. So even as I'm not of this world, neither are you of this world. And listen to one other thing he said. I pray not. Now, this is Jesus praying the Father about you and I'm for you. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. Why would he pray such a prayer? All of us are trying to get out of this world. Why would Jesus say that the Father should not pray to take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil? Well, because the time was not yet. You know, there is a purpose and a role that we must play in this kingdom. You know, as I often said, God did not save us just to take us out of the world. That's not the purpose. Jesus is saying it here in his prayer. A lot of people think we're saved and we can't give our lives to Christ. We're saved so that we can go to heaven. Well, you know, the destination, you know, for, you know, salvation and all of that is upon the earth. Is the destination is not heaven. You know, heaven is already settled, but God needs us to settle certain things upon the earth. He leaves us here for us to speak his word, to command the morning, command things in the kingdom. He said, I've appointed you that kingdom. You have the power to do and undo. Praise the Lord. You know, so these are the things that we must understand. But the devil makes us feel like we are not up to it. We really can't do that. And sure, the devil would like that. Listen to this in Isaiah 45, verse 8. Drop down, ye heavens. You know, when heaven is in heaven, you know, it's not benefiting anything to the kingdom. It must expand. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. The destination is the earth for righteousness. Let the earth open up. Let them, the skies, heaven, and all these things, let them bring forth salvation in the earth. And let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, has created. So the purpose of heaven is to bring righteousness to the earth and bring salvation to the earth. So that's why when we are here, our purpose is not, or should not be, oh, we're going to heaven. You are going to heaven. We understand that. But there's something that God wants us to do upon the earth first. And if you understand that Jesus said the same thing in the prayer he taught his disciples, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. It's already established in heaven, but we got to make it happen on the earth. The word of God that's already settled in heaven, we got to make it happen in the earth, you know. And that's even when we break it down into our daily lives. It's the same thing. What God already said about you, you've got to make it happen in the earth about you. Which is why yesterday Holy Spirit said, well, there's a pen of fire in your hands. And there's an open chapter. Write it. Praise God. What are you going to write? You know, because the heavens already declared it. Say, the heavens declare your glory and your righteousness. Well, we must also enforce it upon the earth, you know, by bringing it into our lives. So, now, it's not in heaven. You say, well, don't say it's in heaven. Don't say it's beyond the sea. Don't say it's, say it's in your mouth. So it's about the word. It's about speaking. You know, we got to know how to use the word of God to bring what's in God's mind to pass, even in our sphere of life. God already saw it. That's his foreknowledge. He's already declared it in the heavens. Well, but now we must enforce it upon the earth. And while you are thinking about it, well, how do I get the things that God has given me? Well, God has already given you. You know, it's like the story of the prodigal son, the older brother who was still there complaining that the father didn't give him anything. But the father said, all that I have was yours to start with. Your brother took his own, so everything else was yours. But you are there bemoaning yourself that you didn't take anything. I mean, I didn't give you anything, whereas I gave you everything. And then sometimes we are like that. God is giving us everything. You know, Bible says he has already given us exceeding great and precious promises. He has given us, bless us with all spiritual blessings. I mean, he has given us all these things. Why then don't we have them? Well, number one, you know, maybe because you ask not. James said, well, you have not because you ask not. So that may be one thing. And then number two, well, when you ask amiss. That may be another thing. Or you don't know how the principles of the kingdom of heaven works. See, unfortunately, we cannot ask like unbelievers. Unbelievers pray the same prayers sometimes, but a different way. When they have need, they pray to God, you know. God help me, God save my child, God do this, God do that. You know, but their prayer is always about that. Always along those lines. They're not praying, you know, that Lord, make me, give me the divine nature. Give me the mind of Christ. Let me be able to think and function like you in the kingdom. Unbelievers don't pray that prayer. They can't understand that. But they pray for help. You know. God help me. God give me this. Give me my food. Give me my drink. Help my picking. As I always say in Nigeria, God help my picking. No, as your child. That's pidgin English. You know, I pray all this prayer. But Jesus said, ye shall not be like them. Matthew chapter 6. Said, this is what the heathen, that's unbelievers, this is what they do. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Give me this. Give me that. But you, knowing, you know, higher. You got higher knowledge. Only believers can pray that the eyes of my understanding may be enlightened, that I may be able to comprehend the riches of God's glory in Christ, to know the depth, the length, the breadth, the height thereof, and to know the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Unbelievers can't pray that prayer. You know, but so when we pray, Jesus said, look, except your righteousness, you know, exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, you know, smell the kingdom. So we cannot be like unbelievers in how we function, you know. The way we function, the rules are different. Once you come to the kingdom, it's not about that. You know, it's for you, first of all, understand what God has endowed with us and walk in the light. You're walking in the light, you know, everything is at your beck and call. John chapter 15 and 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, that's how the kingdom operates. Then you can ask anything you will. You can now speak to the works of my hands, you know, and so forth. You know, command the works of my hands and it'll happen. Command the moon, you know, the moon, the stars, the days, move the mountains, command the day and all these things. All of this God has given to us. It's in your mouth. Joshua chapter 1 verses 8 and 9. It says, well, this word of the Lord shall not depart from thy mouth. You know, your mouth is a powerful instrument in these things. Your mind is there too for you to comprehend the things of God. But it is your mouth that you are going to use to bring it to pass. Numbers 14 and 28. As thou hast spoken, that comes out of your mouth. In my ears, so will I do it. So, well, we begin to use the word of God to declare the mind of God to help us close the gap between his foreknowledge and where we stand in faith. That's it. Now, so we've talked about, you know, God not always revealing what's in between. Well, that's his privilege or his prerogative. He may choose to tell us and he may not. You know, it's not all the time that he tells us everything. Not even the prophets are told everything, you know. I mean, sometimes we think that God must reveal, you know, everything, even to the prophets. Well, you know, because it says that, you know, in talking about it in the book of Amos, say, well, you know, the lion has roared, you know, well, let me read it to you. Surely the Lord will do nothing. You know, that's Amos 3 and verse 7. Surely the Lord will do nothing but he revealeth his secrets unto the servant, the prophets. You know, so the lion has roared, and who will not fear? The Lord has spoken, who can but prophesy? You know, so because of the first part of that verse, people think that God must reveal everything to the prophet. There's no prophet's mind that can handle everything God knows. But he will reveal some things. You know, there are some things that are couched that God will not reveal. But he holds that. Thus, you know, we must search out certain things, but God holds the right. You know, has the right to withhold certain things that he doesn't want us to know at the moment. Not good things. He will never withhold good things from us, but he may withhold certain things. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, you know, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. What? But the things that he has revealed, well, those things belong unto us and to our children forever. You know, so rather than us, you know, thinking that we will know everything, well, we don't know everything. And you don't need to know. This is the purpose of this lesson. I don't need to know what God knows. I just need to have my faith that he knows. So that's it. What he knows that I don't know, by my faith, I can get there. You know, that's it. So my faith can bring me to the place where God already is because of his foreknowledge. There was a time a man, a prophet, you know, who had been helped by this woman, Shunammite woman or whatever, and he had prophesied a child into her life, you know, and she, one day, the son died, and she's going to go and look for the man of God. And you know this story in 2 Kings chapter 4. You say, well, Sodomy and us, I'm going to the man of God. I'm going to carry, you know, I'm going to carry the boy that died and so forth. And just to let us know that whereas God may show prophets even great things, doesn't show them everything, you know. So this woman, everybody said, well, is he well with you? Is he well with your husband? This and this. I said, yeah, it is well, you know. So here's what, when she finally drew near, here's what the scripture says. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 27. When she came near to the man of God, to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi, his servant, came to thrust her away. Leave the man of God alone. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord had hid it from me, you know, and has not told me. So God didn't tell him. Yeah, so God doesn't have to tell you everything, even if you are a prophet. Even you are the one that prophesied the child's life, you know, child to life. God doesn't have to tell you everything. He didn't tell him in this case. He didn't know it, because he admitted that he didn't know. I don't know what's troubling her, you know. So whether God tells us or not, we walk by faith and not by sight. And I said the other day, I said, God doesn't need faith, you know, because, I mean, what a man has, what does he yet hope for it? It's already in your hand. What's the point of faith? If I have it, I have it. I don't need to have faith for it. I already have it. You know, so God already has everything. He already sees the past. I mean, the present, the future, everything. It's already done. He knows it all. He has it. It has happened in his mind. So his own is not about exercising faith. His is foreknowledge. Ours, though, I don't have the foreknowledge that he has, but I have my faith. And by my faith in his foreknowledge, I can actually almost be like I have his foreknowledge. Because once I understand that he already knows it, he already said it, he's already prepared for it, even before I even thought of it, when I knew about it, even before the situation that is troubling me happened or started, God already knew about it, and that will boost my faith. See, so that's why we call it foreknowledge and faith. But that's usually a story in between. Sometimes the journey and the gap may be brief. Sometimes it may be long. Sometimes it may be filled with ups and downs. The foreknowledge of God, he may reveal it to you. Occasionally he does, but he may not even tell you what lies in between. We read some stories or looked at some stories yesterday. Stories of Joseph, even Abraham, David, all these things. I mean, great things that God told them would happen for them, and, you know, but didn't really tell them all the challenges that will come with that, you know. But these is the confidence that we must have in his word, knowing that he has already said so. When the challenges occur, we've got to use our faith to align with his foreknowledge. That's it. So there are simple stories, even in the Gospels, that teach these lessons. One that we have talked about dozens of times on this platform. Mark 4 story of let us pass over to the other side. His foreknowledge was he saw them at the other side and he said, we're going there. I didn't tell you that storms are coming. So we use that every day. Every promise that God has promised you, it will come to pass. Now, the story in between, I don't know. Some stuff may happen, some stuff, you know, here and there, but I do know that, you know, he already said it. So let me declare a few promises to you today. These are things that God has said about you which you can latch on to and use them for yourself, even about your children. You know, parents are often troubled about their children. Listen to this in Isaiah 54. Read the first four verses or so. Sing, O barren, thou that is not bear, break forth into singing, and cry aloud, thou that is not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate and the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Why? Well, because children are coming. Let them stretch forth the curtains of their habitations. Why? Because more blessings are coming. You're going to have more increase, you know, even in substance than the current that you have can contain. Spare not, lengthen thy course, strengthen thy case. Why? For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left hand. You know, and great things shall happen. So God already said that. Well, then we need to walk in that faith. Fear not, thou shalt not be ashamed. Neither be thou confounded, and thou shalt not be put to shame. Hallelujah. I said, well, you will not even remember any shame. You know, the Lord will, he is the God of the whole earth, and he will fix it. Hallelujah. He'll fix it. You know, there are some women that are alone. Maybe at one time you had what you thought was a good marriage. But now you've been alone for many years and that didn't work. And here you are, you're now a single mother. You're like, a widow. You know, a widow is a woman who has lost her husband, generally through death. But, you know, if you lost your husband anyway, it's almost the same thing. Even though a man may be alive, but it's no longer in your life. You know, thy maker is thy husband, he said. The Lord of hosts is his name. The Redeemer, even the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called. And the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in the spirit, and the wife of you. You know, but you thought you were refused. God said you are chosen. Hallelujah. So he's saying it. And it will come to pass. Believe the word of the Lord because it will come to pass. Just like he said it. Verse 11. O thou afflicted, tossed with the tempest and not comforted. Well, look at all the good things the Lord said coming for you. I'm going to lay thy stones with fair colors, foundations, sapphires, and beautify everything about you. Make thy windows of agates, thy gates of carbuncles and all thy borders of pleasant soul. Well, let me put it to you this way. I will make thy gates of praise. You know, thy windows of righteousness. You know, and all thy borders of testimonies. Hallelujah. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. And great shall be the peace of thy children. He's already promised that. So when it looks like it's not happening, if your children are not having peace, you go back to this scripture. If your children are refusing the knowledge of God, you go back to this scripture. And say, the Lord said, you know, they shall be taught of the Lord. I mean, when we're trying to teach our children and they're obstinate, well, you put them in the hands of God, God will teach them. You know, they shall be taught and great shall be their peace. In righteousness shall thou be established. He's already said that. And thou shalt be far from oppression. So anytime oppression comes, well, go back to this scripture. And say, the Lord already said, I'll be far from it. So you really cannot stay here. And you reject it. Also fear and from terror, because it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. You don't need to pray about that. That's automatic. It's already in the scriptures. Don't spend your time worrying about what somebody else is doing. God already took care of it. It's already said in the scriptures. You know, don't waste your spiritual capital on things that you don't need to pray about. You know, just worry about other things that you can pray about. This one, God will take care of it. He already said it. Praise the Lord. Here are some more blessings for your children. For those of you that may be distressed over your children. And rightly so, you know, because we are usually all concerned about our children. And that's okay. But here's what God already said about them. And this is the way it must be. You know, he said, you know, the Lord will bless them that fear him, both great and small. Psalm 115 and verse 13. The Lord shall increase you also more and more. Verse 14. You and your children. Now, so that's a promise. You know, you can see that end state now, even though they may not be looking like it. Your children may still be struggling, but Lord already said they're going to be increased. You know, so because you are the blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth has given to us. So upon the earth, we must establish his will and the goodness of the Lord in our lives. Praise the Lord. And here's another promise for your children. In Jeremiah 31, you know, children may be wayward right now, but the Lord already saw that they are coming back. And you've got to use that to this scripture to your benefit. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 31 and verses 16 and 17. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears. You've been crying over these children and so forth. Well, for thy work, your labor over these children shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they, your children, shall come again from the land of the enemy. God already saw it, that they are coming. That's why he spoke it. And so, by your faith in what he already said, refrain your eyes from tears. He said, and there is hope in thy end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. So you can see that he's talking about your children. They're coming. God already foresaw that they are coming. You know, so these are just examples of how you use what God has said to establish that in your life. You know, he's already said it because he's seen it. You know, it's not just, you know, God is not just randomly saying something just to say it. He's saying what he already saw, well, that will happen. You know, so if already saw it, well, why then? You know, rejoice in that confidence. Praise the Lord. You know, now let me round this up by telling you, here's another scripture which we have read oftentimes, not only in this series, but also many times. But this is a guarantee about God's word. Isaiah 55, you know, let's read some things that God said. I'm going to read from about verse 6 to about, you know, I don't know, maybe to the end or something. Just read it to you. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, or he will abundantly pardon. Now, listen to this. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, so, you know, you really, you know, you can't really figure out how God is going to necessarily do it, because he said, my ways are higher than your ways. You know, your mind cannot compute all the different angles that God already knows. You know, and he's got a million different ways I can bring the thing to pass, which you don't know about. But one thing you know is that he knows. See, that's what this message is all about. Use your faith in the fact that he knows to establish your goings when the times are rough. Let your faith teach you, you know, that God already knows, you know. There's a song that say, my God, Lord knows the way through the wilderness, you know, whatever. He already knows. And he says, now, he's going to assure you by telling us a parable here. As the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return back there again, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that he may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Well, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not, return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please and prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. But from the time that the word goes forth unto the time that it is, it accomplishes the thing that God sent it to do, and it prosper in that thing, there may be some gap in between. It's not that as soon as he said it, it is done. Well, it's great if that's the way it is, but sometimes it isn't. It may take weeks, months, years, even centuries. There are some things that God spoke to Abraham that took centuries. Some of them took a quarter of a century for him to get that first child. And there are many other things, but it will come to pass. So he said, you will go out with joy and you'll be led forth with peace. Now, why is he saying it? Is he just prophesying it, or is it because he had already seen your joy and your peace that's coming? As the way I like to see it, God is already talking about my joy and my peace. He's already seen it. So any situation right now that's trying to steal my joy or steal my peace, well, I know it's temporary. God already seen my joy and my peace. So I'm going to, stir up myself to know that, it shall come to pass as God already saw it and said it. Now, here's all he says, all the things he said. Go out with joy, led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. These are the things before that stood in your way as obstacles. God now said, well, they're actually going to rejoice when you're coming. The hills will leap and break forth into singing. Well, God has said it, instead of thorns, come up a fir tree. Instead of the briar and all these rubbish trees, you come up pleasant trees. Pleasantness will replace all the rubbish. And and it shall be to the Lord for a name. Remember, his name is his reputation. An everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. But more so, he said, all the trees of the field shall clap their hands for you. That's people. God will line them up to celebrate you. Jesus healed a man one time and said, what do you see? He said, well, I see men like trees. Well, the Bible says you are trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So when he's talking about trees here, the trees that will clap their hands for you, they are people. God will line up to celebrate you. That's right. There'll be a lot of people who celebrate the goodness of the Lord in your life. God will line them up. They will be happy too. And they will clap their hands. Praise the Lord. So ladies and gentlemen, that's a wrap for this series. I think I'm done now, except for reviews. And that's it. And I pray the Lord God Almighty, who has spoken to us these days, bring the same back to your remembrance. And don't forget the things that you wrote before the Lord, a powerful room yesterday. Well, bring it to remembrance from time to time and say, Lord, you said. Anytime you want to put God in a corner like that, tell him what he said. Remind him. He said it himself. Remind me of what I said. Put me in remembrance, dear the Lord. declare it again that thou mightest be justified. You have already said it and remind me. Well, it's not that he forgot, but he wants you to tell him. By you telling him, he knows that you know that he said it. See, because it's not a promise to you if you don't know what was promised. So by you repeating it to the Lord of what he already said, and now he knows that you know that he said it. And once you are convinced that not only is God able to do it, what he said, you know that he's going to do it. Because he already saw it happen. That's why he said it. So that's another level of faith. You found the promise. You know and you are persuaded that God can do it. Because he has all power. And nothing is impossible to him. And beyond that, you embrace it. Knowing that he will do it. Because he didn't promise it if he's not going to do it. It's not that he's just promising with the hope of whether it will happen. He has actually seen it happen. So he tells you the way it is. You say, wow. Then you start to confess it. You start to speak the same thing by the word of your testimony before you actually see the results. That's right. Testify about it. Wow. You know. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. Testifying about his resurrection before it even happened. That's how you do it. You overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. You testify. Don't wait until it's all done. Some people say, well, my testimony is not complete. You know, stay tuned, and I will tell you all in a few months. Well, that's good. But it's better you testify about it even ahead. Helps you to get that victory. Well, once you have seen the promise and you're persuaded and you embrace it, knowing that God is not only able to do it, but he's going to do it because he has already seen it happen. That's his foreknowledge. Then, what are you waiting for then? Testify already. Praise the Lord. You know, because now you are walking in God's realm. You are no longer in the realm of, you know, the human being where you are waiting until something happens before you know it is going to happen. You are now in the realm of God because God already saw it happen even before it happened. And he told you it's going to happen because he already saw it. And he has the capacity to make it happen. And so you now know by your faith being placed in God's foreknowledge that it shall come to pass. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord. I give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. We have broken it down. Try to make it simple for all to understand. Because the entrance of your word, indeed, you know, brings light and gives understanding. And Lord, we have not spoken in great swelling words, which nobody can understand. But what good is it then to the people? But we have spoken in plain language, knowing the terror of the Lord, Paul said, we use plainness of speech. And may the Lord take this plainness of speech, these words, expand it in your heart, grant you understanding in all things. Know what is freely given you already of God. May you walk in the victory of your testimony. And remember, your testimony will be a powerful weapon for overcoming the devil when you use it even ahead of seeing results. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.